Welcome to the Unturks. Michael Shore joining you once again. Jank and Ben and Jill are away, and today my special guest is Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. I'm sure I'm not the first person to say Brad Blog.
Oh, it's a long day, and we 5 seconds into you it.
But we are in the, when you think of Democratic politics, what state doesn't jump to mind?
Alaska.
Correct.
Doesn't.
You are.
I knew it,
right.
But I had a hint. One of the topics that at least Brad Blog reader, and I should say, I'm the blogger from BradBlog.com.
That's those folks exactly right. I should be plugging you a little more.
No, it's quite all right. Just want to let people know who the hell is this Brad guy. I am the Brad guy from BradBlog.com, and one of the things that we do over there quite a bit is report on this electoral mess that we have. And indeed, Alaska is unbelievably, who would have thunk it, but an electoral I don't know how to call it, a mess.
Yeah.
A mystery.
A fiasco. And it was a mystery, you know, maybe it will explain somehow why Tony Knowles is not the senator from Alaska and why, speaking of children, the progeny of former elected officials, why Lisa Murkowski somehow got reelected. Kay Brown, welcome to the Young Turks.
Thank you, Brad and Michael.
Kay, and I should say, is the Alaska Communications Director for the DNC, and she has been making some statements along with the Alaska Democratic Party up there about this mess that we're seeing now. Looking back at the numbers, the election data from 2004. Kay, can you give us, before we give folks an idea of this incredible roller coaster that's been going on up there in your state, and it's simply remarkable, this back and forth. Give us an idea why you guys are so interested in getting at the data, the raw data from the 2004 election here in 2006.
We want to be sure that everyone's votes were counted correctly. And it's very interesting when you look at what has been publicly posted on the state of Alaska's website, the Division of Elections, the official vote totals. They have a statewide summary that's just a single total of all the candidates and how many votes they got in total. Then they have a district-by-district breakout, and there are huge discrepancies between these two sets of numbers. So we want an explanation of why these numbers don't match. It's
and
just
that,
like
that...
a spreadsheet, you know, internally. The district-by-district numbers ought to match the statewide total, and they're way off by just orders of magnitude. Like in the case of the presidential race, George Bush, his votes are off by 101,000 votes. His official total was 190,000 plus, but he, on the district-by-district, gets 292,000 plus votes. So there's big discrepancies there. There are in virtually every race up there that's listed, all the way from the national federal races down through the state legislative races. All the totals are incorrect.
And Kay Brown, can you give us the website for the state of Alaska? It's www. I'll save you.
Well, I can look it up real quick here.
Oh no, it's www.state.ak.us for people who want to follow Kay Brown's lead to that website.
And once you get on that state website, you can go to, I think it's through the Lieutenant Governor's office is where they have the Division of Elections.
Okay.
Go to the Lieutenant Governor's link, and then you can link from there to the Division of Elections.
Great.
And Kay Brown, one of the things that you have found is that in some areas you've got reported voter turnout of more than 200%. Is that correct?
It is correct.
And you had told the Anchorage Daily News a few weeks ago when all of this started to happen, you said at this point, it's impossible to say whether the correct candidates were declared the winner in all Alaska races from 2004. My question for start is, what the hell took so long to notice that we had a problem here and to start taking action about it?
Well, I noticed it almost immediately. I wasn't working for the Democratic Party at that time, but immediately after the election, a number of people noticed it, and we did ask for information, and we got some information early in 2005 from the division. At least what I was trying to do at that time was analyze how many people voted absentee, how many people voted early, and you can't tell that from what's up there because of how they have broken the votes. You can't tell how many votes any candidate got in each of the 40 House districts, which is historically always how our information has been reported. So we were trying to do some analysis of the election and started looking at it almost immediately. The Division of Elections has known since virtually the day they put that up there that it was wrong and that there were serious problems with it. For whatever reason, they are choosing not to correct it.
Now, I think it was right at the end of last year then, you requested from the State of Alaska Board of Elections the original files from the Diebold voting machines up there that they use the GEMS tabulator software on these Diebold machines. You guys wanted the original files, not a printout of the data, but the actual files so you could take a look at them to see, you know, what explanation there could be for these numbers. Is that correct?
That's correct. They've given, you know, we've had quite a bit of conversation with the Division of Elections trying to understand what the problems are, and there's multiple problems. One of the things they did was they grouped certain categories of ballots into odd combinations and then counted those over and over. The early votes, the questioned ballots, and the absentee ballots are grouped in odd combinations and multiple, counted multiple times, which is part of the, you know, that's the reason they're saying, oh, well, that, you know, it all works, really, it does, just trust us, it's all there. You know, and what we want to do is we want to look at the relational database, the GEMS database that holds all those votes, and we want to look at the audit log to see whether various modifications might have been made to that. Because
right.
You can theorize about, well, you know, is it incompetence or was there fraud or what is the problem? You know, it could be just gross incompetence, or it could be that there's something seriously wrong with the votes. And we don't know what the problem is, but the more they resist giving us this basic information, the more suspicious we become. We feel under Alaska law that Alaska law is clear that this kind of information is a public record.
I mean, it's federal law too. I mean, there's a freedom of information about a federal election. It's not just talking about a town commissioner somewhere in Alaska. It's talking about the President of the United States.
Okay,
I hadn't thought of that angle. I guess that you're right. It is.
Now, there's three steps that I want to walk folks quickly through here. As you guys were, now you're the Democratic Party, but you represent the voters of Alaska, and you would like to find out exactly how the folks in Alaska voted in 2004. You've requested this data. There was three, at least, major steps that I picked up on in this story. Now, the first one, you guys hear back. You've been waiting for your public records request for them to turn over this material, and the State Board of Elections somehow talks to the Diebold company with whom they contract out there in Alaska. They get back to you, and they tell you they can't give you that information. And why is that they originally told you, Kate?
They told us that Diebold owned it and it was proprietary. The data file structure where our votes were contained was proprietary information belonging to Diebold, and therefore the contract with the state prohibited them from giving it to us.
So a private company, and we're talking to Kay Brown, who's the committee chairman for the state of Alaska for the Democratic National Committee. The Diebold company, a private or perhaps public corporation, I'm not certain, but I believe a private corporation, is saying that the votes for President of the United States in Alaska belong to them, not to anybody else.
Yeah, what they wanted to do was export data out of this database, which would break the linkages between the data, the relation with the data, and leave us with a whole bunch of, you know, just a big pile of individual little pieces of data. What we want to see is the data as it's contained in the database. You know, this is not software. It is a database, and these data structures are publicly available on the Internet. We didn't see what possibly proprietary information could be gleaned from the release of this.
So
that was their first big excuse. They had some delays in there before they finally got to that reason, and then they said, no, you can't have it, it's proprietary.
And this is a, you know, let's not try and fool anyone here. We don't expect to find out after looking at these numbers that George Bush lost that election in Alaska. This is not about that. This is about the principle of how our votes are counted in America and how we can find out about the results of each election.
Well, it's about having access to our own, you know, our own data in our public elections and the fact that these guys are privatizing it. Okay, we're coming up on a break here, but I want to get to step number two, and then I will tease, because this thing gets even worse, I will tease you to come back through the break. But let's get to step number two real quickly here. So they tell you that it's a company secret, that you can't have the data from 2004. But then a week or two later, apparently that goes over like a lead balloon, because a week or two later they come back and they tell you what?
Then they say, well, Diebold has removed its objection, and now we're looking into whether we can let you have it because it might compromise the security or the safety of our system. And then there's some more delay, and then just very recently they came out and denied it and said, no, it's a security risk. You can't have it.
And so you jumped to the third step on me there. But, yeah, I do know that in that second step when they said, okay, well, we've talked to Diebold and they've relented and they said, okay, the voters of Alaska can actually have their election data. They also said that they would release it at that time, but they reserve the right, and this is in the letter, Michael, I'm not kidding you, to, quote, manipulate the data before releasing it to these guys. I mean, they actually reserved that right. They actually said that. And then, in fact, just, what was this, last week, Kay, the top security official in the state, decides that it would be now, they're going back. They can't release it after all. It's a security risk.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, literally, they're saying a security risk.
You know, and the statute that they're citing is one that was passed by our legislature following 9/11. In the following session, the next year, they passed this kind of blanket security-type legislation. We don't even think it applies to what we're talking about here. It's mostly talking about, and the legislative history indicates, people were concerned about physical security, you know, of ports or airports or things like that. Not of something about basic data that we would be entitled to get. So we are now trying to figure out what the next step is, but we definitely intend to pursue it because, you know, we can't be having elections in this country where we can't see the record of what happened.
Yeah, you know, that's the point. And the excuse that they're giving, that it has something to do with security, is about the most, and that is the kind of thing that I wish UK Brown and the Democratic Party were bringing to the mainland, as it were, to the lower 48, as you probably say up there, because it seems so important that people understand this. This excuse that it has to do with security is the most absurd disconnect, even if it's part of a loophole in security legislation that was passed in your state. Don't get me wrong, I mean, Alaska is a state that, has been threatened at times, and there's so much of a fuel empire up there that I can see why security would be important, certainly to every state, but in particular
to
Alaska.
Well, I think, you know, there were bills like this passed around the country after 9/11.
Exactly, yeah.
But what happened in the case of our legislature is they went overly broad and swept in a bunch of public records, put the public records statute, which we had a very good public records statute, that gave our citizens access to information. And now we have to go and try to figure out how this new security law, which has just been put like a blanket now over our public records and access to our government, is going to apply.
Right.
I don't think it's been challenged, or at least not that I've been able to tell. But something as basic as the record of an election that's now over by some significant period of time, where there are these kinds of discrepancies, orders of magnitude, you know, flaws and errors and
right.
discrepancies in the reported vote, and they're saying you can't have it, you can't see it, you can't verify what's there. We just think that's wrong.
It's none of your damn business, Kay.
Kay, we're going to ask you to stay with us. We're going to take a little break here. We invite you to call and talk to Kay Brown, who is the committee chairman for...
No, I'm not the chairman. I work for the Democratic National Committee, and I'm working with the Alaska Democratic Party.
Oh, communications okay. Director.
I'm sorry, communication. I thought committee director. Communications director, my fault. But you are in Alaska, and you are on our team, and we ask you to stay through the break. The number here, 866-997-4748, 866-99-SIRIUS, and we'll see you after the break. It's Young Turks. Welcome back to the Young Turks. Somebody Tell Me. Thank you. He's been in a little bit of trouble, is he not, JR, this gentleman?
Who's trouble?
That George Michael. Isn't that George Michael?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, George Michael, a little bit of drug problem, but, you know, happens to the best of them. He's had some embarrassing troubles in the past, too, George Michael. Kay Brown joins us, continues to join us, and we're talking to Kay in Alaska, where she is the communications director for the DNC for the state of Alaska. How'd I do that time, Kay?
Great. Thanks.
Okay, good. Kay, you know, one of the issues I said before that I would not suspect, having not even looked at the results, because the results can't be looked at, I would not suspect that George Bush would have lost Alaska. However, there was a Senate race there in 2004, an important one, I might add. And Lisa Murkowski, who was appointed by her father, Governor Frank Murkowski, to fulfill the rest of his term, won re-election over Tony Knowles, a former governor. And this is the kind of thing where you probably want to see those numbers, don't you?
We do. There's a discrepancy of more than 77,000 votes in the Lisa Murkowski totals. One thing about that race that the Republicans keep pointing to is that, oh, we had a recount there, and, you know, therefore everything is perfect about this election because there was that recount in the Tony Knowles race. I think it's unlikely that race would change, but, you know, we don't know because we haven't seen it, and we know there's these big discrepancies in it, but,
right.
You know, more likely might be changing some of the races that were closer because there were a number of races that were quite close.
Yeah, I mean, it trickles down, this stuff. I mean, just, you know, it's not all about the presidential.
It's not all about it, and there was a big recount in that race, and they did go back and run all and just recount that one race. There was a citizens group that asked for a recount, and so they did, I think they went back and looked at all the paper ballots again.
Right.
Which, you know, one thing that we've learned out of this experience so far is that there are some big flaws in the Diebold software and in the whole schematic here for how people's votes are being done and being counted. So I'm thinking that a lot more scrutiny needs to be given to these voting machines, and especially the trends toward paperless voting and these touchscreen machines. There's lots of opportunities for manipulating those, so we need to be sure that we've got some fail-safe systems in place where we can always go back and have a paper record to depend on, where the voter can verify their votes, where we get rid of secrecy in the process. We've got to have it transparent.
Get rid of secrecy. Get rid of secrecy.
In our public elections.
This is the United States of America.
Kay Brown wins the Understatement of the Year award with a lot of flaws in Diebold machinery, indeed.
Before you get to that, Brad, I want to interrupt you for one second, because there's one, and this may have been where you were going, but the idea that we need to make this a big issue, isn't that incumbent upon the Democrats right now to do that? And as a spokesperson for the Democrats in one of the 50 states, and someone who at I would say sometime or another has Howard Dean's ear, isn't it part of what the Democrats need to do?
Well, the Democrats in Alaska are making it an issue, and we have been educating people about the problem, trying to get our state government, which is controlled by Republicans, to be responsive to living up to their obligations to tell people what happened in that election and give us straight information. We don't have that. So we are doing our best to, at least the Alaska Democrats are, to make people aware that we have a big problem here that needs attention, and it really needs attention before the next election this fall and before the next big federal elections in 2008. We are talking with the people in D.C., and I hope that it's getting on the radar screen. From what I'm pretty new to the issue. I've just been looking at it in detail here for a few months, but I can see from what I'm reading about what's going on around the country that this is certainly not the only location where there's problems.
No,
there are problems in many local jurisdictions in a number of states. And so I think it's just, you know, it's kind of like a lot of little fires are getting lit, and maybe we will get somebody's attention and get the kind of scrutiny of this issue that's needed, because it's a, you know, it's hugely important to the future of democracy.
It is, Kay Brown, and this is Brad Friedman again. I would be remiss here. We've got just about a minute, but I promised you when I spoke to you before coming on the air that I was going to hold you responsible for the entire Democratic National Party. So my question is...
Some promise.
Yeah. Why the hell has it taken so long, and why hasn't the Democratic Party nationally made this an issue? You can fight about all the policies you want, but if you can't vote the folks out at the end of the day, it's all meaningless. I know Howard Dean sat down and actually saw how these machines can be hacked. Why do you think this is not a national issue in 30 seconds?
You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I think, let me say this, sometimes things just have to get to the tipping point, the breakover point, the point when people, enough people wake up and realize that it's a problem. And I think the more situations like the one we have in Alaska that come to light, the more that happens. So I don't think it's too late, but we do need to get right on it because we have some elections rolling up here very fast.
Yeah.
And it is real important that our national leaders pay attention to this. It looks like we're going to need some kind of federal oversight on the whole situation. And from what I can see, there, you know, we don't have adequate oversight now of these problems with the software, problems with the access, the transparency and accountability angles are not well.
Kay Brown, thank you for joining us on the Young Turks. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, thank you.